Auspicious day of the appearance of Lord Ramachandra, Shri Ram Nomi Ki. It's the ninth day of the full moon, if I remember correctly. Navami, it's written N-A-V-A-M-I, Navami. We pronounce it Nomi, Ram Nomi, which means the ninth day of the moon that Lord Ram had appeared on. So on this day, Srila Prabhupada allowed us to chant Sita Ram. I can remember the first time I visited Vrindavan. There was a temple more or less across the street from where we were staying. It was Fogal Ashram. And it's a Sita Ram temple. And all day long, Sita Ram Jaya, Sita Ram, Sita Ram Jaya, Sita Ram. All day, they're chanting Sita Ram. Very beautiful, very beautiful. So the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada about chanting Sita Ram. So he said, on this day, we can chant the Sita Ram mantra. And then the other line that we chant, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram. Now there's an entire poem that's written that the Hindus sing. The Hindus are fond of singing this, but Srila Prabhupada did not approve of the rest of the poem. But he did say, he allowed us, yes, you can chant the first line, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Of course, we all know Patita Pavana means Savior of the Most Fallen. So, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram. This Lord Ramachandra, he's known as the best of all the kings. Best of all the kings. His kingdom was Vaikuntha on earth. Everyone was happy. Srila Prabhupada explains in some of his purports that the citizens were so happy. And all of their necessities were supplied by Lord Ram to the extent that they experienced no difficulties whatsoever. And Prabhupada notes, even if they didn't want to accept death, they didn't have to. So Prabhupada points out there are many political parties in India, and they label themselves, we are the party of Raj Ram. So Prabhupada said, they may call themselves the party of Raj Ram, but they're trying to establish the kingdom of Ram, but without Ram. Probably quite often would mention there. They're trying to enjoy the kingdom of Ram or of Krishna without Ram or without Krishna. Probably emphasize that point many times. So with that, I would like that we could sing this Sita Ram. Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram Sita Ram Jaya Sita Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Jaya Sita Sita Ram 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 Lakshman Hanuman Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman
Sita Pavanha Sita Radha. Raghupati Raghava Rajaharam Patita Pavana Sitaram. Sitaram, 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 Sitaram,
Sitaram ji ke jai om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribhraja Kacharya Stachari Shishi Maharaj's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribhraja Kacharya Stachari Shishi Maharaj's Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Namacharya Sharadas Thakur ki jai. Prayamjiko Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Mayapur Dham ki jai. Yamunamai Gangamai ki jai. Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi ki jai. Yugadharam Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Prihat Mardanga Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. Prasadam Distribution ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki jai. Shri Ram Nomi Maha Mahotsava ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru Shri Garanga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ma Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Pristam Budare Shimadi Bhaktivaranti Samaritanam Namaste Saraswati Devi Goramani Pshanya Nirvasesha Shinyavari Pashta Diji Shitarame Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, will we read today from the Srimad Bhagavatam? The pastime of Lord Ram is mentioned here. Lord Ramachandra's pastimes are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there are many other writings, probably. Recognizes there are many writings about Lord Ram, but he said that we should hear those that are authorized. And what better authorized reading that we should hear from except this narration given to us by Shukadeva Goswami himself. There's one very popular writing, well, of course, Ramayana. given it to us by Valmiki. Srila Prabhupada accepted that. He said, if we accept any Ramayana, it's the Ramayana given to us by Valmiki himself. But there's another writing, the Ramcharita. And Prabhupada calls it Ramcharita Manas, which means these are the sentiments of the author who was Tulsidas. So Srila Prabhupada, he recognized that there's many nice things about the writings of Tulsidas and his Ramcharita, but Srila Prabhupada also criticized it, explaining that it had Mayavad influence. It had tendencies of Mayavadi influence. So Srila Prabhupada did not recognize it as one of the authorized writings, but he did respect it, if I can clarify that. So Srila Prabhupada especially gave us this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, here in the ninth canto. And this is the Sankirtan devotee's delight, actually the activities of Lord Ram. Of course, we chant Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada was asked, does this refer to Lord Balaram? Does it refer to Lord Ramachandra? Does it refer to Parshuram? So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, it refers to all three. To all three. So for the Sankirtan devotee, Srila Prabhupada explained that we understand Sita Devi represents Lakshmi, and Lord Ram represents Vishnu. As we all know, Lakshmi is the wife of Lord Vishnu. So when Lakshmi was stolen, Vishnu, or Lord Ram, took it upon himself to rescue her. And to do this, Lord Ram did not allow anything to stand in his way. Practically speaking, many millions, it doesn't mention exactly how many were killed, but Lord Ram killed many million. Lord Ram and his army killed many millions of the demons, supporters of Ravan. And for the Sankirtan devotee, this represents, Srila Prabhupada explained that just as when we go out on Sankirtan, we're rescuing Lakshmi from the hands of the demons, because they want to utilize all of their hard-earned monies for illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat-eating. So the devotees, they rescue Lakshmi from the hands of the demons to engage it in Krishna's service. And Srila Prabhupada scrutinizingly utilized every farthing in Krishna's service. Prabhupada was very expert. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, hopefully we can get to that part. This is how he ends the narration. There are especially two chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam devoted to Lord Ram's pastimes. And he ends by explaining just that the dutiful devotee, Prabhupada says, the pure devotee makes it his intention to do just like this, to preach the glories of Lord Ram in this way. And by going out especially to convert the demoniac civilization. And Srila Prabhupada explains there, because Lord Ram sent out his brothers. Lord Ram sent out his brothers to conquer and to make sure everyone accepted Lord Ram's rule was the purpose of Lord Ram sending out his brothers. So Srila Prabhupada said, those that follow in the footsteps of Lord Ramachandra will receive Lord Ramachandra's mercy in that way. But Srila Prabhupada clarified it by saying that those who cannot go out, and Srila Prabhupada said they are known to be the Kanishta Adhikaris, those that cannot go out and preach, they'll also get Lord Ram's mercy. And the example that Prabhupada gave was, though, even though Lord Ram sent out his brothers for preaching, He himself stayed and gave darshan to the residents of Ayodhya Dham. So they also got Lord Ram's mercy in that way. So in this way, Prabhupada explains that Krishna is merciful to all the devotees. He's merciful to all the devotees. But as we know, those who are going on and preaching Nacha Tasman Manusheshu Kashtame Priya Kritama, they are especially dear to Krishna. Yes, Lord Ramachandra's brothers were so dear to him. So dear to him. And this pastime of Lord Ram, it is so wonderful. Even though at times it's a very wonderful pastime. In other words, everyone is joyful at all the happy experiences of Lord Ram. But it also has so much drama in it also. Especially when Sita Devi is kidnapped. And then when Lord Ram is criticized by his inhabitants. And even though Sita Devi was pregnant at the time, he left her because he was being criticized. Lord Ram was being criticized for accepting his wife back, even though she had spent time in someone else's home, in another man's home. He was criticized by some of his inhabitants. So Lord Ram left her just like that to show that he was completely renounced. But there was such love and bonding between Sita Ram, and therefore Lord Ram is not criticized, of course, for his pastimes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can engage in his pastimes as he desires, just like Krishna had 16,000 wives. The materialists, they may try to criticize him. The materialists may try to criticize Lord Ramachandra, but the devotees understand all of his pastimes are totally pure. So when Sita Devi was in the house of Ravana, she fasted. She simply fasted. And when Lord Ram saw her, he saw how pale and how thin she had become because she had fasted the entire time. And similarly, when Sita Devi, being brokenhearted that Lord Ram had left her after she had delivered her two children, her two sons, Lav and Kush, she entered the earth. And Lord Ram was so brokenhearted that he simply engaged in austerities and sacrifices for 13,000 years, and then he left also. But Lord Ram accepted the vow of Eka Patni Brata, which means he would only accept one wife, even though in those days the Kshatriyas and others were allowed to accept more than one wife. His own father, Dashrath, had three wives. But Lord Ram took this vow that he would only accept one wife, just to set the ideal example of a Kshatriya. So we'll begin reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, entitled The Pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. I was listening to one lecture. Srila Prabhupada had heard the dictionary definition of Krishna as one of the Hindu gods. And Srila Prabhupada spoke about that in his lecture. How they think, well, the Hindus have many gods, and Krishna is just one of the Hindu gods. Prabhupada said, what a misunderstanding. They have no idea the definition of who Krishna is. Theoretically, they may say, and Prabhupada went on to say how there are so many incarnations of Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada gave class on this day, I think I only found two lectures that Prabhupada gave, but he always began the lecture with the shloka from the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan Nanavataram Akarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramapumanyo Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Srila Prabhupada explained Ramadi means, of course, Lord Ram, but also many other incarnations. Many other incarnations. Not just Lord Ram, Ramadi, many other. And then Srila Prabhupada goes on to say how there are incarnations of Lord Varaha, Matsya, so many other incarnations. So I also looked up the definition of Lord Ram given at dictionary.com, which I think is based on Webster Dictionary. I was very pleased. An avatar of Vishnu. Of course, again, it's a theoretical definition, but no mention of Hindu God, which of course we understand Hindu to be a non-Vedic word. Nowhere in the Vedas is the word Hindu mentioned. So, an avatar of Vishnu. They're at least approaching a more respectful idea of why we worship Lord Ram. But as we know, Lord Krishna has so many incarnations. Prabhupada used another example. I don't remember hearing this example previously, but he said, just like some man may start some business, and this business may turn into a very large enterprise, but it's not that person loses his identity. It's not that even though he has so many establishments that may be around the world, he doesn't lose his personality, his individuality. So similarly, Krishna has so many incarnations, and the example Srila Prabhupada used in his first talk was just like if we take a candle and we light another candle, both are of the same potency. Both are of the same potency. And they don't lose their individuality. But we understand there's the first candle. So Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Parabha Pumanyo Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Again, these are the words of Lord Brahma. So the words of Lord Brahma, Brahma Samhita, mean that they are etched in stone. Lord Brahma can only speak the truth. Lord Brahma's mind is non-different than the mind of Lord Vishnu. So whatever Lord Brahma speaks cannot be argued. It's only the eternal perfect truth. So Krishna Swayam means that Krishna is the origin of all. Krishna is the origin. So we'll read here. Shukadev Goswami said, the son of Maharaj Khadvanga was Durgabahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja, and from Aja was born the great personality, Maharaj Dasharath. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasharath. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ram have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. So here, Srila Prabhupada mentions how Lord Ram was described in the first canto. Is it the first canto or the second canto where all the incarnations are described? So therefore, he's mentioning it again only in brief, although there are two chapters devoted to Lord Ram. But the total writings of the pastimes of Lord Ram are very voluminous. So to keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramachandra immediately gave up the position of king and, accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, or by another monkey, Sugriva, king of the monkeys, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshman, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Sharpanika, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. As far as I remember, Sharpanika was the sister of Lord Ravana, wasn't it? He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows. He was Lord Ramachandra. Therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows and thus frightening the ocean. Who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the king of Ravan to kill him, like a fire devouring a forest. May that supreme Lord Ramachandra give us all protection. In the arena of the sacrifice performed by Vishwamitra, Lord Ramachandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas, and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the moat of darkness. May Lord Ramachandra, who killed these demons in the presence of Lakshman, be kind enough to give us protection. O King, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. In the assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of this world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men. But Lord Ramachandra bent and strung it and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally as endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home, after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramachandra met Parashuram. Although Parashuram was very proud, having rid the earth of the royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a king of the Kshatriya, who appeared to be a Kshatriya of the royal order. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramachandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life, and went to the forest with Sita. So it's explained here that the citizens loved Lord Ram so much that when he was banished to the forest, everyone wanted to go with him. So Lord Ram said, well, if everyone comes with me, then there's no question of banishment. Therefore, you all must stay. So Lakshman, he implored that he must go with Lord Ram. And Lakshman gave so many reasons that he could help Lord Ram in this way and that way. So Lord Ram agreed that Lakshman could come. And then, of course, Sita Devi also insisted that she come, even though she was the daughter of a king and had never experienced life in the forest previously. And Lord Ram warned her that she would not be able to enjoy any of the kingly opulences that the princess, the queen, should enjoy. But of course, Sita Devi insisted. And these are all the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. While wandering in the forest, where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramachandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends, headed by Kara, Trishira, and Dushana. O King Parikshit, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires, and he went to kidnap her. To distract Lord Ramachandra from his ashram, Ravana sent Marich in the form of a golden deer. And when Lord Ramachandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it, and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. When Ramachandra entered the forest and Lakshman was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of the king of Videha, just as a tiger seizes unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Then Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshmana, as if very much distressed due to separation from his wife. Thus he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to women. Prabhupada, of course, speaks on that topic many times, that even if one has the most ideal situation, it will still be very distressful. It will still be full of calamity and so many others. But if one is Krishna conscious, then it can be a very beautiful arrangement that one can make to help his service to his spiritual master and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as we know, it's a bona fide ashram. Most of the acharyas were householders. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport that the wife is the better half. Of course, the husband also has so many faults, but he has also so many good qualities. So the wife is the better half. Just like we know that verse is there, Yashasti Bhaktir Bhagavat Chakinchana Sarvar Sugunais Tatra Samasate Suraha, that the devotees of the Lord had developed all the good qualities of the demigods. So the demigods also have bad qualities, as we read about in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The demigods also have this lusty desire, so many other bad qualities. So, but the devotees, they develop all the good qualities of the demigods. So similarly, the wife is the better half. Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabanda, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Bali, and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. Purport, when Ravana kidnapped Sita, he was obstructed on the way by Jatayu, a large bird. But the powerful Ravana defeated Jatayu in the fight and cut his wing. When Ramachandra was searching for Sita, he found Jatayu almost dead and was informed that Sita had been carried off by Ravana. When Jatayu died, Lord Ramachandra did the duty of a son by performing the funeral ceremony. And then he made friends with the monkeys to deliver Sita Devi. So he did the duty of a son. So Lord Ramachandra respected Jatayu for trying to protect Sita Devi and for trying to kill Lord Ravana. So therefore he became very endeared to Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Ramachandra stopped, even though he knew that his wife had been kidnapped, etc. He stopped and performed this ceremony on behalf of his devotee. So then Lord Ramachandra reached the ocean, and after reaching the beach, I'll continue reading. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramachandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of anger. And simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the ocean personified personally approached Lord Ramachandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the Master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original Personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of Ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the Master of all these qualities. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Robin, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the worlds. As far as I understand, that's what the name Ravana means. He's the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him and thus regain your wife Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. And there's so many pastimes connected just with this building of the bridge. I believe it's described how everyone pitched in to help Lord Ram and all of his monkey warriors. In this regard, Prabhupada commented that, similarly, I am trying to defeat the demons with assistants who are just like monkeys. Prabhupada explained like that. At one time he called us white aborigines. But he said, just as Lord Ram was able to defeat Ravana in this way with the help of his monkey warriors, similarly I am defeating the materialists. And Srila Prabhupada, during his time, was defeating the materialists big time. So much so that in so many places they made comment. For instance, in the United States, I think it was in the Congress, one congressman explained that the Hare Krishna movement is spreading like an epidemic. And soon it may even capture governmental power. Prabhupada noted this and spoke about it so many times. Yes, they are feeling the weight of this movement. Prabhupada noted it. And in great pride, Prabhupada knew that the Krishna consciousness movement was established in America, and there was little that they could do to actually erase this movement, which they wanted to do. But Srila Prabhupada had full faith that Lord Chaitanya's movement would be spread. So, in this pastime, sometimes it's explained that there was a spider. Sometimes it's explained it was a squirrel that was helping Lord Ram by kicking in a little bit of sand into the ocean to help establish this bridge. So, Srila Prabhupada comments that because they were offering 100% of their energies for helping Lord Ram, therefore, he accepted the service. And I believe it was Hanuman who said, step aside. You know, we're throwing in big boulders, not small grains of sand. But Lord Ramachandra chastised Hanuman. No, he's also helping. But this bridge actually can be seen today. There has actually been a satellite photograph of this bridge that connected Lanka with the mainland of India. This bridge can still be seen today. And it is not something to be taken that this is just some story, but it's actually a history of Lord Ram's appearing. And there are many other proofs, but this bridge is also one of the proofs that this pastime actually took place on this planet. And Lord Ram appeared in Ayodhya. Ayodhya is also still there. Just like Prabhupada gave mention how Krishna appears in Mathura. But Mathura is about 90 miles, I believe, 90 miles south of Delhi. And Ayodhya is, I believe Srila Prabhupada said 600 miles northeast of Delhi. And it's still there today. So all of these are proof of Lord Ram's pastimes. So the ocean also recognized Lord Ram's prowess and begged Lord Ram, please use me as your instrument. So Shukadev Goswami continued, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing the water by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys. Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Bibhishan, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. And Prabhupada makes note in other talks that Hanuman could have finished Ravana. Hanuman himself could have finished Ravana. Hanuman burned down much of Ravana's kingdom. So Hanuman was very competent, but so that Lord Ram could receive the glorification of killing Ravana, therefore he left that part of the pastime for Lord Ram. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers, led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. In other words, Ravan was more or less powerless. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags, and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. When Ravan, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances headed by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumbha, Kumbha, Dharmaksha, Dharmuka, Sardantak, Narantak, and other Rakshasas, and also his own son Indrajit. Thereafter he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampan, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. As Ravana stayed back, shivering in fear, knowing that he would be killed by Lord Ram. So Prabhupada makes mention how, just as he sends out others to fight, similarly the capitalists, they sit in their comfortable offices, ordering the other soldiers to go and fight, while they sit in fear, hoping the soldiers can protect them. Lord Ramachandra is surrounded by Lakshman and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandamada, Nila, Angad, Jambavan, and Panas, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, processes. What are processes? Shakti arrows. I think they're different kinds of arrows. Rishtis, Kagdas, and Tomaras. I think these are different kinds of bows and of arrows and spears. Prabhupada notes how, anyway, I think he mentions it soon here, how the, even though the demons had all this advanced weaponry, and the monkey soldiers simply had boulders and rocks to throw, still the soldiers of Ravana were cut to pieces. Angad and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Mother Sita, as Prabhupada mentions in this purport, she's one of five most chaste ladies in the history of the world. And similarly, Ravana's own wife, what was her name? Mandadara. She was also one of the, and she also condemned Lord Ram. So because he was condemned by these chaste ladies, Prabhupada explains that the ladies, by remaining very chaste, they develop tremendous spiritual potency, tremendous spiritual power. And because Lord Ravan was condemned by Sita Devi and even his own wife, Mundari, therefore he was destined for failure. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded toward Lord Ramachandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows. Now on this, when I looked up the definition of Lord Ram at dictionary.com, they show Lord Ramachandra sitting on the shoulders of Hanuman. But here's Srila Prabhupada explains that he was on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog, for as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnapped my wife Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Therefore, today, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed it at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas! What has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets, and the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Lord Ramachandra ki jai. So practically effortlessly, Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana. Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle, headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka. Continuously crying, they approached the dead bodies of Ravana and the other Rakshasas. Striking their breasts in affliction because their husbands had been killed by the arrows of Lakshmana, the women embraced their respective husbands and cried piteously in voices appealing to everyone. And as we said before, headed by Mandodari, they knew very well that Ravana was condemned for stealing Sita Devi and was doomed because of this. So the chapter continues that whoever follows the path of Lord Ravana, he's destined to be doomed. And then how Lord Ramachandra established Ravana's brother, Bibhishan, as the... Did I make a mistake? Yeah, Lord Ramachandra, corrected myself. Lord Ramachandra established Bibhishan, Ravana's brother, who was a great devotee, who helped Lord Ram. And Lord Ramachandra was very appreciative of Bibhishan's help, and therefore... he gave Bibhishan different benedictions that he would rule in a very Krishna conscious way, as Lord Ramachandra wanted, and gave him a very long life. And then the next chapter is dedicated how Lord Ramachandra ruled the citizens, that they were so happy. It was Vaikuntha on earth. Such a wonderful, ecstatic kingdom. And as we said, it's being glorified even today, that there was no anxiety whatsoever in Lord Ramachandra's kingdom. No anxieties whatsoever. And this chapter ends with a benediction that whoever hears these pastimes, I'd like to try try to find this benediction if I can. Whenever Lord Ramachandra returned, all of his brothers, of course, greeted him, especially Bharat, who had been fasting. It's explained that Lord Bharat, ate only rice that was soaked, or it was boiled in cow urine, because he showed that he didn't want to try to usurp Lord Ramachandra's kingdom. Actually, he wanted Lord Ramachandra to stay and rule. But Lord Ramachandra wanted to please his father, because his father was bound by the promise of one of his wives to fulfill this promise and banish Lord Ramachandra for 14 years. So Lord Ramachandra wanted to respect this. And when Lord Ramachandra left, Dasharatha Maharaj became so brokenhearted that he left his body. Left his body, even though his other sons were there, but he was so attached. And similarly, the other citizens were so attached to Lord Ramachandra. There was one Brahmana, and Prabhupada speaks about this often in some of his lectures, that this Brahmana would not eat unless he saw Lord Ramachandra. And one time he had been fasting for so many days that it came to the attention, I believe, of Lakshmana. So Lakshmana brought this Brahmana to see Lord Ramachandra so that he could break his fast. And Lord Ramachandra actually gave him a deity of himself. Prabhupada makes mention in the purports that this deity is still existing in southern India. Which temple is that? I was trying to remember which temple that was. But it's still existing there. And we can go and see that deity still being worshipped to this very day. So by seeing this deity, the Brahmana would the deity, of course, is not different than Krishna. And the Brahmana, therefore, would be able to stop his, break his fast. So, the benediction, if one hears these pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, he will become blessed by Lord Ramachandra and go back to Godhead. I'm trying to find how it is that the exact wording here. But by this we can understand how important it is to hear these pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So on this day we fast, and this will help us to remember Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. And as Swavas Prabhu mentioned, there was some discrepancy amongst some devotees. So we fast only till noon. I think it's explained that Lord Ramachandra appeared at noontime. But Srila Prabhupada made specific mention that we should fast until dusk on this day. And he also made mention that we should break the fast just like we break it on Gaur Purnim. I can remember my first Gaur Purnim was in 1976, was in India, fasting all day. And for some reason, all the devotees, including myself, was thinking there was going to be this huge feast. But when we came, there was potato sabji. Do you remember that, Srivas Prabhu? There was potato sabji. You were there? There was potato sabji, and there was also fruit. And therefore, the next day is known as the festival of Jagannath Mishra. And on that day, you have the feast. And Prabhupada explained like that in some of his letters. One may say, well, Srila Prabhupada was not very strict about that. And I don't remember hearing or seeing it anywhere in Srila Prabhupada's books, although it was in his letters that that's how we should observe. So there are many devotees who are very gung-ho, very enthusiastic. Yes, we should only take Ekadasi, because Prabhupada may mention you can prepare an Ekadasi breakfast. And there are other devotees who explain that it's not so. It was not one of Srila Prabhupada's main, you know, rules. But however the devotees would like to observe it, they can observe it. And there's facility if you want to observe Ekadasi. Usually there's some Ekadasi subjis So, and then you can save the rest of the preparations for the next day and then honor them the next morning. But the main thing is that we want to get Lord Ramachandra's mercy on this day, especially to assist Srila Prabhupada in preaching this movement of Lord Chaitanya's. Srila Prabhupada wanted that that we become enthusiastic, just like Hanuman's friends, assistants, the other soldiers. They only had trees and boulders and mountain peaks to throw at the enemy, and the enemy had all of these super modern warfare, the most advanced. But they were defeated. They were defeated. So similarly, we may think we have very little to utilize against the materialists. Sometimes the devotees, they say like that, well, the materialists, they're so empowered, you know, they have the opulence of the world at their fingertips, they're multi-billionaires, etc. What do we have? How can we fight? We have the Bhagavad Gita. We have the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have the entire parampara rooting and supporting us, encouraging us with their own example. Even though they wore loincloths, they changed the world. So Srila Prabhupada said, even if there's a percentage of the devotees who are able to follow the... Prabhupada knew that it would be a small percentage of the world that would change. But we can see over the years how much Srila Prabhupada's movement has affected the world. And we can see vegetarianism is more commonly accepted nowadays. Reincarnation is... The word karma practically was unknown. But now, practically speaking, everyone that I meet, at least, when I'm speaking, have you heard of... Yeah, I believe in karma. Or as Bhrigupati said, explains, oh, have you heard of the word avatar? Oh, yes. The last time on Harinam, I used that same line Bhrigupati Prabhu was using. Yeah, avatar, yeah. I said, do you know where the word avatar comes from? No, I have no idea. Right here, the Bhagavad Gita. I said, look at here, avatar, and look at how many references there are. And the person, you open it up. Wow, look at all these references to avatar. I said, yeah, this is where the person got the idea. This is where it comes from. And they purchased the Bhagavad Gita on that note. They wanted to learn about what is an avatar. Oh, one who descends. I said, I used all of Bhrigupati Prabhu's lines. The avatar, they were blue, right? I said, well, see, this is how Krishna is blue. So Prabhupada did not hesitate to give us pure Krishna consciousness. Who can accept that God can be blue, God can be green, blue or blackish, God can be red, God can be any color. And I know that confirmed my practice of Krishna consciousness and accepting Srila Prabhupada's instructions that God can be any color, and he descends in so many colors. Prabhupada said the incarnations of Krishna are just as innumerable as the waves of the ocean. Just as innumerable as, he said, this is what the word Ramadi means, that Krishna has unlimited incarnations. So we can stop here. Does anyone have any questions, comments, things they would like to add about Lord Ramachandra's appearance day? James was quick with his hands.
There was a German writer, Metternich, who wrote a book called Bluebird. And Shirley Temple made a wonderful movie called Bluebird. And it reminds us that Krishna was blue.
Okay. Hare Krishna. How we can be reminded that Krishna is blue. Okay. Shri Ram Nomi Maha Mahotsava Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Samaya.
Oh, you should have brought that up.
Where?
It's there.
Huh?
It's there. I didn't read that part.
You never did.
Unfortunately, I didn't mention that. You should have brought it up. Nirantar will speak the same thing. He'll mention that.
Okay, since Vidhan Haida, Prabhu Ramachandra, activities, where he brings his heart and self, Prabhu Ramachandra, did he also admire that?
My first conversation with Prabhupada was after the park. Prabhupada and the devotees rolled up the rug and left the park, and I had never heard of Hare Krishna before. It wasn't a popular thing as it is now. And some stranger came over to me and asked me if I'd like to go to the temple to see the Swami. And I didn't know what that was, but I intuitively felt there was something there. And so I went to the temple, and the first thing I saw, besides the devotees chanting in front of Prabhupada's, what they called the dais at that time, his Vyasasana, one devotee came over and gave me a chapati, which I immediately started eating. And while I was eating it, two other devotees were talking between themselves, and I overheard. And one of them was saying, the Swami just said that whenever devotees fight, it should be taken like clouds passing by. Because when clouds pass by, you hardly even notice it, or you don't notice it. So it should be taken as insignificant. And I thought that was pretty amazing, especially since at that time it was the Vietnam War and so many protests and everything was in turmoil. So I thought it was amazing.
Sometime later I got to go on a walk with Prabhupada on his famous morning walks, and at that time I had become a little bit known for distributing his books. And I think it was in the same year, later in that same year, 1972. And someone had said, Prabhupada, Tripura Das is here and he's distributing the books. And Prabhupada turned to me and opened his eyes quite wide, and then he quoted the verse from Bhagavad Gita that no one has ever will ever be more dear to me than one who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita. So he encouraged me along those lines, and I was already enthusiastic about that by his grace. So that further catapulted me into the kind of service that I did for quite a long time in his manifest presence, distributing his literature and inspiring others to do so.
And I remember asking him a question at the end of the talk. He asked if there was anybody who had questions. And I said, how does one become sincere? Because I, in my own mind, I had viewed that sincerity was a key quality in achieving self-realization. And so he said, you become sincere by being sincere. And he said, you just have to want this Krishna consciousness. You have to sincerely want to surrender to the spiritual master and to Krishna. And he talked a little bit about those things. And